And one final question about relapse disease, which is, you know, we've heard a lot about the agent venetoclax in particularly chronic lymphocytic leukemia, but we're starting to hear about it in other diseases. Can you talk about what venetoclax is and how it's starting to look like it might be relevant for myeloma?
Right. I will tell you that we at Emory, at Winship, are very excited about venetoclax. We're lucky enough to have a scientist at our institution who is really one of the world's experts in understanding apoptosis in myeloma. And years ago, made the observation that some myeloma cells are dependent, or at least codependent, on the anti-apoptotic protein BCL2. Most myeloma cells are protected from dying from apoptosis by the anti-apoptotic protein MCL1. And some myeloma cells are dependent both on MCL1 and BCL2 to survive. And the patients with myeloma who are most likely to be dependent, at least codependent, on BCL2 to help the myeloma cell from dying are the patients who have translocation 1114. And translocation 1114 myeloma is a unique type of myeloma. And so if you looked at the phase one study, we looked at venetoclax as a single agent. And if you look at the non-1114 patients, the response rate is very low. It's probably around 6%. But if you look at the translocation 1114 patients, the response rate in the relapse refractory setting as a single agent was 40%. And that's higher than as a single agent. And again, this is, when I say single agent, this is no dexamethasone, no other medication, just single agent venetoclax. 40% response rate is higher than what we see with daratumumab, higher than bortezomib, higher than lenalidomide, higher than pomalidomide, higher than carfilzomib. And so it's possible for the first time that we're going to be able to see really predictive medicine in myeloma. That is, if you have 1114, then that doesn't guarantee a response, but that enriches the chance of a response, and now we have a 40% response rate. And in the laboratory, we're doing a lot of work to try to figure out which of those 1114 patients is most likely to respond.
One final thing about venetoclax, which is what we've heard from the lymphoma CLL people, is very well tolerated quality of life-wise, you know, essentially no quality of life side effects, but a lot of concerns in CLL about the potential for tumor lysis syndrome. Again, in myeloma, you also see no quality of life side effect things.
Yeah, in general, the drug is very well tolerated. I think the most common side effect that people have are GI type side effects, whether it's diarrhea or nausea. Our patient who's been on the longest is now approaching 3 years.
Wow.
In a continuous stringent complete remission. But getting back to the other very important point, the one of tumor lysis, in CLL, the management of venetoclax is very well outlined in CLL patients, starting at very low doses, monitor carefully and increasing. In myeloma, we have not seen symptomatic tumor lysis syndrome. There are a handful of cases where we see tumor lysis laboratory abnormalities without symptoms, things like a rise in LDH, but we haven't seen, even in patients exquisitely sensitive to the drug, haven't seen clinical tumor lysis. We haven't seen renal dysfunction. We haven't seen electrolyte abnormalities. We haven't seen people get sick. And in myeloma, we don't do a step-up dosing. We start at 400 milligrams, which is an effective dose. And in the studies, we're even starting at 800 milligrams, just straight off. We are cognizant of the tumor lysis potential, and so if we use venetoclax, we always hydrate, start allopurinol for several days beforehand, and monitor for tumor lysis carefully in that first 24 hours.